Well, I have a word stirred in my heart. I'd like you to go to James chapter 5, and we begin at verse 13. James 5, 13. I'll begin reading through 15. We'll come back to 13 and then go down to the end. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry, joyful, cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven. So let's go back to verse 13. And what this is addressing is a state of mind that you might find yourself in, and what you should do in that state of mind. You know, we're always in a state of mind. There's a certain state that your mind's in, a certain condition, so to speak. And, you know, I could call this fervent prayer as a teaching, or what's the state of your mind? But he says, is any among you afflicted? Question. Is anyone afflicted? Now, when you're afflicted, it can have some varied meanings, but it's speaking to the fact that you're being oppressed or maybe under spiritual attack, or we might just say, I'm dealing with some things. And many times we're in that place. That's the state of mind that we're in, that we're, maybe it's a spiritual attack, maybe it's fear or worry, maybe it's a condition, circumstance where there's difficulty. But there's times we're in that place where we're afflicted. You could be afflicted for the word's sake, as it says in the sower sows the word, where the enemy comes to steal that word and there's a battle going on in your mind. That doesn't mean you did anything wrong. That may just mean the fact that the enemy's out to steal the word. And we have to fight to hang on to the things God would bless us with. You know, in this life, many times you have to fight. If you're unwilling to fight, you'll be overcome, overwhelmed, or possibly destroyed. So he says, is any afflicted? And then he says what to do. Let him pray. Is any merry or cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Now, the two English words sing psalms is a word in the Greek that's also translated, or it's the word in Ephesians chapter 5 when it speaks of speak to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. The making melody in your heart is the same word as sing psalms here. Make melody in your heart to the Lord. And what that goes on to say is that's how we maintain a fullness of the Spirit. So when you are free, when you experience the manifestation of God or His work in your life, that should bring some joyfulness or some cheerfulness. And what we should do when that's the state of mind, praise God, I'm blessed, I'm free. If that's the state of mind we're in, what we should be doing is making melody in our heart to the Lord, or singing psalms to Him, or rejoicing in Him and what He has for us. So in this day, you're likely in one state of mind or the other. Either there's affliction, there's attack, there's something troubling us, or we're joyful because we know we're blessed and we're not in a troubled state. And there's an instruction with each. When affliction comes, we need to pray. He doesn't say get someone to pray when affliction comes. You pray. It is extremely important that we learn how to pray. I think in terms of children's ministry, which is very near and dear to our hearts here, it's important children are taught to pray. And they know how to pray. And they understand that. And don't think they can understand it. And in a way, they have an edge on the rest of us. Because they naturally will pray a childlike prayer of faith. They'll keep it simple. until you teach them to make it complicated. The children will just keep it simple. And they'll just say, God, heal mommy. She's sick. And that's the end of it. And I would really, I really value children's prayers. If they're taught to pray and they know God, they have faith, because they'll keep it simple. Simple, direct, right to the point. Prayer's not about making it complex. It's not about the length of time, although there may be times that God would have you pray long, but it's not about that. So for children, they can be a part of the work of God through the Church of Jesus Christ, because that's something they can do. You know, children are not going to go out and earn money to give to missions. I mean, it would be rare. Maybe some of them have a lemonade stand and you know, they'll give out of that. But for the most part, children are not doing anything to raise money for the gospel's sake. They're not going to be doing things that would require heavy physical labor. But they can pray. And really, all ministry starts with prayer. So the younger that can begin to be imparted to children, the better, that they learn to pray. Janet had shared with me not too long ago a testimony. There was a young man, that's all relative, you know. I was talking to somebody else a little older than me recently, referring to somebody as a young man, and they might have been in their 30s or 40 years old. I'm thinking, man, that's when you're actually growing in age. You think of someone 20 years your junior as a young man. But as we wait on the Lord, our strength's renewed like the eagle. Our youth is renewed. So I'm a young man too. Well, anyway, she had shared with me there was a young man that grew up in our church, grew up in Grace Academy in our school. He's married, lives in another state. And something happened in childbirth. He was married and his wife's having a child. And something happened. I don't remember the detail of that. But it was bad. And he prayed and God delivered in the situation. Again, I don't know the details. Don't really need to know. Just the fact that it was a desperate situation, it's all we need to know. And God delivered and moved in that situation in the delivery room. And the wife didn't grow up like that, didn't necessarily know how to pray like that, and expressed how glad she was that he knew how to pray like that. And she didn't even know he knew how to pray like that. But it came out of his spirit, because it was put into his heart. And over those years growing up, the word was going in and going in and going in. And sometimes, you know, you might be surprised what comes out of you in a crisis if the word was put in. And in that moment of desperation, and your faith is activated out of the desperation of the situation, and the prayer of faith is prayed, and God does a miracle. So we don't want to underestimate. Sometimes the fruit of your labor putting in the others may not really come out for some years later. That shouldn't be an issue to us. It's the natural mind that wants to see something right away. And that's become a bigger issue in our culture because of the instant gratification. I'm hungry. Pull in. Throw me a hamburger. Instant gratification. You know, the plus side of that is if you manage your time in it, you can actually accomplish more. Yeah, I don't have to go home and cook a meal. I can get that hamburger thrown out the window. So there's some upside to that. But to learn to pray is so important. And it's important for children. We need to understand this, because it's inevitable the time will come their back's against the wall. And the time will come where God wants them to stand on their own faith. And them having been taught to pray is going to make a difference. I remember when Jesse would have been, 10 years old, I think. And he had gotten poison ivy so bad. I mean, it was like a head-to-toe agony. And I was leaving to go to Europe, I think Poland and Belgium. And you know, we prayed left, and Donna had Gloria Copeland on the TV for I don't know how long, all day. And he couldn't do anything. I think it was even on his feet. Everywhere, head to toe, blistered, poison blistered. And he's sitting listening to Gloria Copeland teaching on healing that whole time. Faith rose in his heart. He released his faith, and God healed him. I mean, it was a complete instant type of thing. It wasn't like 4 days later it went away after you pour a gallon of calamine lotion on. And he used his faith that day. But due to, you know, kids generally are active and want to do things. You know, when you're laid up in bed, not a lot you can do. That can be a good thing sometimes, because he was positioned just hearing the word, hearing her teach your whole series on healing, and faith rose, and he was 10 years old. There's times in our life where we're going to have to stand. You can't allow yourself to just think you can just ride somebody else's faith out. God has a provision, and we'll get to that in a moment, where others' faith to work in your behalf. But we want to learn to pray and to be able to stand and pray the prayer of faith for ourselves and then others. And you don't know necessarily when that time will be, like say with a child, where they're going to have to stand on their own. As they go on into their adulthood, that will surely become the case. But we want them to learn, put the word in. And when the pressure's on, it's going to come out. They know what to do. In 1993, once when I was praying, it was actually before the service, and we were meeting down on East Philadelphia Street that time. I think we had a church service Sunday night, if I remember correctly. And the Spirit of God spoke to me, and he said, don't pray for the people, like lay hands on the people every service. He told me, don't do that. Because I would train the people to look to me. And a lot of ministers do that, and they actually like it because it makes them feel like they're important or needed. But we need to have the mindset, and what the Lord spoke to me is teach the people to be able to stand on their own faith and pray a prayer of faith. Now, that being said, he wasn't saying don't ever pray for people. But yes, maybe the anointing, healing anointing stirred up, do it then. Pray corporate prayer meeting. Well, if we're all praying together, can anyone take the credit? It has to go to Jesus. Where there's tendencies for people to take credit when they're the ones praying for someone, the temptation of that could be there, or for people to glorify that person. Oh, that's the man. You the man. You're the anointed one. You're the one all glory should go to. That's a dangerous thought for anyone to pick up. Because as soon as that's picked up, the anointing is going to be gone in short order. So we want to learn to pray. We learn to stand. God has the provision to help us when we need help. But ultimately, we want to come to the place where we're taking our place in prayer. Now, sometimes I want everything easy and done for me quick society, we can end up at a place we don't want to take the time to do what we need to do. Just somebody else do it for me. Here, I'll pay you. You do it for me. And we need to recognize what are things that I need to begin to take responsibility for and begin to do in my life and set ourselves as a part of our growth. So he says, is any of you afflicted? Let him pray. Let him pray. Is any cheerful, joyful? Let him sing psalms or make melody in your heart to the Lord, as that word's translated in Ephesians 5. So you have those two states of mind. If you are not oppressed, you're not afflicted, and there's cheerfulness, there's blessing, we absolutely need to be thanking and praising God or your heart will drift away from him. And that's evidence with the 10 lepers. One came back to give glory to God. And Jesus said to that one, where's the other nine? Well, if we're not going to continue to thank him, our hearts will drift more towards carnal things of this world. And we will not stay full of spirit. Therefore, we won't have the strength we need or the faith we need. Or just the power of God in our life. We won't have that because we're not staying plugged into it. So the singing psalms, as is stated here, or the worship of God, the praise of the Lord, is vital. That's the key thing with staying full, staying connected. We're continuing to express our faith. Lord, you did this for me. You set me free. You gave me joy. You healed my body. You forgave me my sin. Yes. Then in certain verses, and I put it in the bulletin, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. In Thessalonians and Romans, it's a continuation, a continual thing. It's a habit, a spiritual habit. And it says in Romans, rejoice in hope, chapter 12, verse 12, and also chapter 5, verse 2, rejoicing in hope. Now, as we're walking through our life, we deal with past, present, future. And God's a God of past, present, and future, the God who is, who was, and is to come. And many people are plagued by worry and fear of the future. That can be like a cloud or a plague over your life. But as we rejoice in our hope, your hope's what you're expecting, looking forward to. We rejoice that God has spoken to the things of our future, whatever that would be for you, whether it's a financial prosperity or forgiveness or healing, whatever it would be, we rejoice. We have hope as we move forward in our life. We do not need to walk forward fearfully. Or worry, but we walk forward in faith. We rejoice in that hope. We have expectation. We shouldn't be saying, well, something bad's probably going to happen by tomorrow because I went a whole day and nothing bad's happened. You know, people say stuff like that, and it's bad to talk like that because it's like we're prophesying evil to our life for the next day. Regardless of how many days or years it's been a certain way, tomorrow doesn't have to be. Your future is not bound to your past unless you speak it, unless you allow it to be. You say, well, I've been sick and afflicted for 5 years. Christ is your healer. Today is the day of healing. Tomorrow is the day of that miracle coming. That's the position we want to take. We rejoice in that hope. And you see, that's the singing psalms. We're singing of who he is and what he's done. And that's what we're looking forward to. That's what we're expecting. Not evil, but good. If when we are blessed in whatever way and there's joy and we're not expressing that to the Lord, then, as I mentioned earlier, our heart begins to drift from him and we become preoccupied with the flesh. Whether it was something evil or something good, in any case, we become preoccupied with that. Now, verse 14, I want to bring a third state of mind to our awareness here. Is any sick among you? That word's athenia in the Greek, which it means sick. Okay, sick. You're under the influence of some sickness. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And a prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, my habit now in study is I look up every single word in Greek and Hebrew when I'm looking at scriptures. And the English, what I'm finding more and more is the English is not a good language for clarity of what God was expressing about himself. You know, the Koine Greek language is actually, they say the best. And that's what the New Testament was written in. And with my handy dandy Complete Word Study Bible, you know, I can just hit a word, and up comes the word in the Greek and the definition and all these places where it's used and all that. And as a teacher, I love it. It makes it a very speedy job. Well, back in the old days, what we used to do is have concordances and dictionaries and all that. And to study, you need like a big table and you lay all these things out. And it took a lot of time to look up words. So praise God for that. That allows me to study more, not have more time for the flesh. Allows me to study more. So in this word is the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It's a different word in the Greek, which is speaking to the weariness of mind that is a byproduct from being sick. I'm going to say that again, not for effect, just so you hear it again. The weariness of mind, the exhaustion, the weakness, the powerlessness that is a result of dealing with sickness. And there are times, you know, we might use the expression, you're under the weather, or you know, whatever expressions, other expressions we use, that you've been dealing with something and you can't even focus. If you're in a lot of pain, there's this place you cross over, you can't even think straight. Read the Bible, I can't even see straight, I'm in so much pain. Listen to teaching him, it's like, and it's very, very hard. It's hard to focus. So he's saying, if you're in that state of mind, call for some help. And we're speaking of the elders of the church here. It's not speaking of necessarily someone with a positional title, but in simplicity, that word just means those who are mature, where the assumption is they would be strong. And sometimes when you're weak, you need to be able to draw on someone else's strength. Now, we do that with Jesus. When I am weak, that's when I'm strong in him. Because the process there is you don't depend on yourself when you know you're weak. There's nothing you can do. You're helpless. And many times at that point is when we really release faith because I can't do anything. We release faith and lay hold of the promise of God, like grabbing a hold. Well, sometimes you can be in pain or you can be so the byproduct of sickness, or you're just fighting something for a span of time where you're weary. And sometimes people give up at that point. Over the years, I've seen that at times. You might have someone dealing with cancer, and they just get tired of it. They just give up. And that's not, you know, anything negative on that person. Anyone can get tired. You can get tired of something you're doing, and if you don't get more strength, you just want to give up. I'm done. I can't move any farther. And God has a provision for us. If that's our state of mind, he has a provision for that state of mind. Call for some help. Now, there are times that, you know, with your car, you have a car battery, and it gives the power to start the car. That's about as deep of an explanation as I can give. Maybe John could give a deeper explanation of how all that works. But there's times the battery gets weak, and generally 3-4 years. But then there might be those times you let the car lights on, you went in overnight, you come out to start the car. Battery's dead. There is no power to charge this. So then, most people don't have their own chargers. They would call someone, or you have another car, and you put the jumper cables. I mean, my first inclination would be, I'll pull another vehicle of ours up beside it and see if I can jump the battery. But sometimes the power of my other car battery is not enough to jump this battery. It's so dead. And I've already maybe they call 3As or John or someone, and they come out with a heavy-duty truck and has a heavy-duty battery, and that thing will start it up. But you need the infusion of the power from a stronger one to come in and recharge it. Well, then you have to let it run for a while so the alternator recharges the battery. I knew that much. Many a times I go out and have a battery that's not able to do the job. And generally, when it starts getting real cold, if it's getting a little weaker, that's when you one day walk out. And the thing sounds sick. Should sound. And sometimes we're like that. Our battery's gotten like really low. In fact, it's low to a point it can't cause the operation of our spiritual vehicle. And we need a jump start. We need a transference of power. And that's where the laying on of hands, in some cases, is going to come into play. I can't even think straight. I'm in so much pain. Come pray for me. Help. And God has that provision. Aren't you glad God has a provision for whatever state we're in? You know, God doesn't come along and say, what's your problem? Why are you weak? You fool? Well, you didn't do this and that and the other and this and that and the other, so I'm just going to let you have a dead battery. No, he doesn't like that. He has a provision for in our weakest moment, he has made a way for us. And that's important to know and understand. And you could have situations where you find yourself in that place at some times. We need to know to call on someone who can put their jumper cables on us in their faith. Now, I want us to recognize, initially, are you afflicted? You pray. We want to endeavor to pray. We have to fight the fight. If we only depend on others, the time will come. You need to resist the devil, or you need to take control of your own flesh, or you need whatever you need. And nobody else is there. Now, Jesus is still there. Holy Spirit's still there. And we need to pray. So we don't want to just be dependent on others. Learn to pray. But if you find yourself in the place you got knocked down so hard, or you're so weary in your mind with all you're going through, you need somebody else to bring an infusion of the power of God from their spirit to yours. And praise God, he has that for us. So what condition is your mind in? If you're dealing with something, pray. You need to pray. And sometimes you might say, I don't know how to pray. Learn to pray. Keep it simple. Doesn't have to be complicated. But we need to begin praying and releasing faith. When you're in a position where I'm blessed, I'm free, I'm not under any affliction, rejoice in the Lord. Give thanks to him. Make melody in your heart to him. Now, in the last days, or the days we're living in, one of the things that's been happening is there is the invention of so many things that does things for you. My wife likes to refer to her servants and bless them. Oh, we have a lot of servants. Y'all didn't know that. How do you have servants, Pastor Bill? Keep them locked up in a basement or what? Well, a couple of them in their basement. There's a washing machine. There's a clothes dryer. There's a dishwasher. And Donna likes to bless her servants because she could be doing all that by hand. You say, bet me, right? But, you know, back in the old days, people did do all that by hand. And what those machines did was redeem the time, where maybe you would have taken many hours. Now you're just throwing it in, taking it out, instead of washing it all by hand. Well, we have things where, you know, like the devices we have, it does a lot. And it's kind of scary to me if there's too much device in education and kids don't learn to use their brain and think. That's dangerous. Okay, there's a danger to too much being done for you. But we can just sort of get into this thing where You're always looking for something, someone or something else to be doing all of these things for you. And we actually get led into this dependency. It's very, very dangerous. Our dependency needs to be primarily on the Lord himself. Now, it's good to have the devices and the machines. I'd much rather having driven my car here than having had to walk here or ride a horse or something else like that. So what are you saying here? Well, we need to take it on ourselves to pray and to sing psalms. You see, it's not enough just to listen to music. You need to express it. You need to express it. I remember a certain point in time I was with Brother Ema, and we used to take sound equipment and stuff over there and go back the next year, and it's broken because all the dirt in the air. I mean, I'll just mess up sound equipment. About Randy, it doesn't help if they crank it full bore so you could hear it a mile away and then blow out the speakers. There was plenty of that too. But I remember him getting frustrated with this, getting equipment and breaking down all the time. And he was talking about, he was contemplating this. We need to just go back to the old days. You walk down the road, and I forget what he called it. It's like playing your own trumpet. Yeah, I don't even know how to do it. You know, people mismake their own music. You know what I'm talking about? Younger ones probably, what in the world? Where are you going? But people were more inclined, I believe, just to sing to themselves because they didn't have all the other stuff. I mean, it is nice. I like listening to a nice, digitally recorded, awesome music. Everything's perfect. That's nice. But that's not you singing to the Lord. You might say, well, I've been told I sound terrible. Well, just don't sing loud in church or do it in a shower or in the car when you're driving down the road. God has filters on his ears. Till it gets through his filter, sounds beautiful. He's listening for the heart. It's not about the outward thing. Now, when people hear, you know, it's the beauty of it, we enjoy. But that's not what it's about when it comes to thanking and praising God. And that's something we need to learn to do as well as pray and be a part of us. And maybe, you know, some people, they can't carry the tune in the bucket. You know, you can't sing. Well, play something you can sing with. I mean, I remember as a kid when, you know, my parents would take us on a lengthier ride, like to the beach or Hershey Park. We would be singing songs. Now, they weren't spiritual songs. It was, she'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming round the mountain. She'll be coming round the mountain. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. And I don't know the rest of it, but I said, boy, you had a pathetic life, didn't you? Now you have kids with their gadget and their earplugs in and nobody's communicating. And so you see, there's something that was very simple that's missing that had a benefit. That's just sing together. Well, how much more so when you begin to sing choruses or hymn, you know, singing verses to the Lord? And generally, if you're not as gifted in that area, you need it simple. And, you know, we've discussed already, worship team, you know, it's better worship songs that are more simple than filled with words. Because you want it to be able to come from your heart and from your spirit and to be able to remember it. And we try not to sing too wordy of songs because then you have to look at the words because no way you can remember them all. And that until you've sung it 100 times. But some that are more simplistic in nature, it's easier to remember. So then you're not as much singing from the mind as much just from the heart. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I mean, that's an easy one to remember. So a lot of times it might be just a chorus versus, you know, the old hymns, there'd be like 5 different verses. And if you sing it enough, and a gifted person, they might hear it once. Someone's gifted in song, they might hear it once and remember it. When I used to learn songs, I had to play them like 50 times consecutive. How about Donna? And that could be possibly obnoxious to someone around you. But that's what I had to do to learn songs. That's not my gift. I remember I was playing this one Ron Perry's. Gracious Lord, full of compassion, sins of my youth you'll never mention. That one. And I don't know, I must have done something. I don't even remember what it is. It was a little agitating to her. So I'm setting myself to learn this song. Remember that? And I'm singing like over and over and over, because that's the only way I can get it into me that I remember it. Over and over and over. And she thinks I'm doing it just to prod her. You know, you need to be merciful to me. But really, I wasn't. I wasn't doing it for that reason. I was trying to learn a song. Yeah, so sometimes, you know, you might do something like that and someone thinks, you trying to tell me something? And it's not necessary the case. Don't read into things. That might just be what they're wanting to sing. But there's sometimes with the advancement and development of things, some basic simple things sort of get lost or missing. Now, it's a great blessing to come and have people that are called and anointed where we can more easily become one voice heard praising and thanking God. And the anointing is just magnified as we worship together. Like, to me, that's an awesome thing that God had ordained for us, where we come together and we can allow those called to do so with a better voice and the musical instruments. And they're, you know, it's carrying like the rhythm and you have the melody and all that. And it's much easier for us to join our voice together where his presence is manifest in a greater way. Okay, well, what's your state of mind? If you're afflicted, pray. Pray. Are you free? You blessed? You cheerful? Minister to him. Be thankful. Keep rejoicing in the hope that you have that brought the freedom. And then you're able to sustain that victory, to sustain the peace and the joy. Is anyone sick? You're weak. You're in that state of mind where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. I can't focus. God has a provision. You're not left dangling and hanging, but rather call for some help, someone that's strong. We need to be purposed to live strong so that we can be called upon. I know when I started pastoring, that was really a revelation to me. I cannot afford to not have faith ready to be released at any point in time. Therefore, I can't afford to allow any sin in my life. That's not to say I won't ever sin, but I try not to let it lay there. Ask forgiveness, forgive others, and all the rest. Because I must be ready to pray a prayer of faith. Someone's life might depend on it. Someone's life might depend on you being ready. When he talks about praying the prayer of faith, it will save the sick or bring deliverance from the weariness, the oppression, as well as the sickness itself. The state of mind that sickness can put on someone. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven. When we're releasing faith for the redemptive promises of God, say, what's prompting it's I need healing, but you have the promise of forgiveness. Well, if you're going to be releasing faith, get it all. Don't want to be carrying any condemnation around here. Confess your faults one to another. Now, the word fault actually is another word for sin. And when certain words used for sin, some can mean like really premeditated evil, really bad. And some, you know, you might offend someone And reality is that sin, and maybe you don't even really realize it, but we need to be purposed to keep things free and clear between us and other people. That there's no hindrance to the prayer of faith. Confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, effectual fervent is a Greek word, ergon, which is also works, activated, operational. When I taught on the gifts of the Spirit being activated, that's that word. There's an operational faith. It's an activated. It's like it's turned on. It's operational. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You see, we can just say prayers, but then there's the prayer where faith is released, where it's operational. It's like a machine's turned on. Something's activated. A switch is flipped. And he's saying here that that kind of prayer is the kind of prayer we need, where it is operational, active. There is faith that's being energized and released to lay hold of the promise of God. Now, sometimes we can take prayer as like just a religious thing, really. But when you're in a desperate situation, many times people, there's like the compassion of the Lord or the need itself just causes you to release your faith in a way maybe you normally wouldn't. Because God has to show up. This person's going to die. Or they could die. Not that they're going to. They could. Lord, I need your power manifest now. So effectual fervent, it's not actually two words in the Greek. It's the one ergon, where it's an activated, operational prayer of faith. Then he gives us an illustration. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah the prophet did many miracles. He prayed earnestly it might not rain. This is the beginning of his ministry. It did not rain on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. God used that miracle to bring Ahab to his knees, so to speak, and the evil pursuit of the nation. Bring them to their knees. There's famine in the land. It says he prayed again and the heaven gave rain. He prayed when God said, okay, now it's time. After the prophets of Baal were judged, then the rain came. And he says, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, the thing I want to point out from this, it does not say Elijah operated in that gift of miracles because he was a prophet. That's not how it reads. But rather, he was just a man. He was just a man like you, just human, man, woman. I'm not talking about male and female here. We're talking about he was just a human. He was just an ordinary person. But he knew his position with God, whereby he had faith in God. And as God instructed him, he released his faith and that miracle was set into motion. The understanding we are righteous in Christ, or verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much or can produce a great harvest or a great blessing. You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. You are accepted by the blood of Jesus. You see, the reason why Satan wants to use condemnation so much is to rob you of your faith and your confidence to come before God. So he's going to try and condemn you. You no good, dirty rat. And if he isn't getting that message through just him talking to you, he'll find a person to talk to you like that. You no good, worthless, dirty rat, lower than a worm, scum. And you see, we cannot allow condemnation to abide upon us, but we need to, if you sin, ask forgiveness, be cleansed, get rid of the condemnation, then don't let the lying devil try to condemn you with something out of the past, But you remind him of his past when Jesus defeated him in the resurrection and began to boldly declare, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet the life I live, I don't live by the flesh, but by the faith of the Son of God. I am crucified with Christ, raised up with him in the likeness of his resurrection. And we begin to strengthen our faith in our position with God, that I have the right by my faith in the work of the blood of Jesus to come boldly before the throne and lay hold of what he has for me. So we want to stay strong in that. So then as you're in a place, a state of mind of freedom, be rejoicing in it. Don't wait until you're being held under the water, so to speak, kicking and thrashing. Don't wait till then to try to build your faith. Keep it strong. Keep rejoicing in the Lord. There's an expression, I've heard preachers kind of make a joke out of this. You know, if someone gets in a bad situation, they tried everything. I guess we need to pray. Has it come to that? Yeah, it should be our first inclination. That him that's afflicted, pray. And if you're being overwhelmed, get some jumper cables, spiritual jumper cables. Someone else's prayer of faith, come in on top of yours. Praise God. And if you're free, praise and thank him every day. Learn songs. Learn to sing to the Lord. It's great if you can just make it up. That's awesome too. Just sing in the spirit. Make up your own song. But there are thousands upon thousands of good ones. And now we have devices. If you're not so good at remembering all that, you can just tap, tap, tap. Start playing a song and sing with it. We don't want to just listen, because the power of God's released in our spoken word. And our praise is just singing the spoken word. And that's where the release is. And it's incumbent upon us to learn to walk and live this way.